This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm James Hattori. For a while, the president of the World Bank was one of America's most controversial figures. It seems that Paul Wolfowitz was never able to shake his identity as an architect of the Iraq War. He was forced to resign after a staff uproar over a high-paying promotion he authorized for his companion. Robert Zoellick succeeded Wolfowitz in June. His first 100 days on the job were relatively quiet, but this past week he rolled out an ambitious strategy for the world's largest poverty-fighting institution. Robert Zoellick is at the World Bank office in Washington, D.C. Welcome to Weekend Edition.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
You know, for many people, the role of the World Bank is sometimes unclear. You make loans and grants to developing countries to fight poverty and joblessness, promote health and build economies. But some argue that with the globalization of banking and financial markets, maybe the World Bank's role should diminish somewhat and let commercial banks shoulder more of those goals. What's your view of that?
Well, I just came from the investment banking world with Goldman Sachs. And while there are some skills and some of the expertise that we can draw from the private financial world, we're in a fundamentally different business. The difference, I think, is that for a commercial bank, they're there to make money and they provide a valuable service. For us, the financing is part of a package of applying knowledge and encouraging larger market development.
This past week, you stressed that the bank could not ignore problems in economic powerhouses like China. China has more than $1 trillion in foreign exchange reserves and has access to the commercial banking sector. Why does China need help from the World Bank?
Well, first, when you actually look at where you see the poor around the world, about 70% of those people live in China and India and some of the other so-called middle-income countries. So if we're going to address the problems of the poor, we need to work with these countries. Second, I'm sure many of your listeners are interested in issues such as energy and the environment. If we're going to get at questions like global climate change, we're going to have to try to meet the energy needs of these countries, but in a way of a low-carbon path.
Your predecessor, Paul Wolfowitz, made fighting corruption a major theme during his tenure. In your view, how serious a problem is corruption in implementing World Bank programs?
Well, good governance policies and anti-corruption have to run through everything we do, in part because if it's involving the money and finances of the World Bank, we don't want to lose that money, and the taxpayers that originally financed this institution certainly don't want to have a sense of their money being ill-spent. But it's also fundamental to development. I mean, what you see in countries is that if they themselves don't have good practices and don't have transparent policies, the poor get hurt most of all. So when we try to deal with the anti-corruption problem, part of it is to make sure that our projects are as clean as can be, but part of it is to strengthen countries' capacity in dealing with their own fiscal systems and financial systems. In a way, I think one of the lessons of development over the past 10 or 20 years is you have a very hard time getting at this if you don't include governments and anti-corruption. So we're trying to integrate it into everything we do.
The World Bank and the International Monetary Fund will be meeting here in Washington next week. What's at the top of the agenda?
Well, as you mentioned, I gave a speech where I set out six strategic themes, and I think in the case of the bank, given the trouble it had earlier this year, there'll be a focus on that strategic agenda. Second, this IDA, the International Development Assistance, every 3 years we have to replenish that, and that'll be a topic. And then the third one, I think, is the role that we and others can play in dealing with the global climate change issue.
What are fair and effective ways to encourage developing countries to turn away from carbon-based strategies?
Well, it's a key point, and it's one that I made with a number of the leaders of the developed world, which is that while I think there's a strong interest in the climate change agenda in the developing countries, there's also a fear that some of the developed countries may channel resources that would otherwise go to, say, the development of Africa to climate change. And so one way in which the developed countries can help assuage that is to make sure that they do make contributions to projects like IDA, but also to make sure that there's a recognition that developing countries will need energy to grow. So if, for example, we're going to get China and India and others to cooperate more on low-carbon growth, I think the solution will be to try to help them, say, with clean coal technologies or carbon sequestration and other developments so that we don't send the signal that after developed countries have grown that now we're going to put the pressure on developing countries. So I think it's partly developing a cooperative relationship that recognizes that developing countries' interests have to be at the heart of this agenda.
Lastly, Mr. Wolfowitz's departure was widely reported, as was the criticism among some senior World Bank staffers there. Now that you're in that job, has it been a challenge to restore some of the morale there?
Well, I think, you know, there undoubtedly were troubled waters, and I was trying to spend some of my initial time just listening to people, trying to calm some of the anxieties. But what I've learned over the years in my public service is the thing that will draw people together most quickly is a common sense of purpose and mission. The people who come to the World Bank come because they're very committed to the cause of trying to help development and overcome poverty. And one of the reasons that I set out this speech was to give people a sense that we're back on track and moving forward. So I think that's the key, is the focus on the mission. And in that sense, the annual meetings will give us a focus and attention to present these strategic ideas, have a good discussion with colleagues, and then start to move to the execution stage.
Robert Zoellick is president of the World Bank. The bank and the International Monetary Fund will meet in Washington next weekend. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much.